rapture happens, we'll be glorified. Our flesh will be instantly transformed into the glorious presence of, like Christ is. He says, as he is, so will we be. And we will receive our glorious bodies. Why? Because we won't be able to stand in his presence in our sinful state. Amen? What's a sinful state? I'm not necessarily saying your spirit is sinful. If you're born again, spirit-filled child of God, you've been washed into blood, your spirit's alive in Christ. Amen? But the body is still dying because of sin. We still live in a sinful world. If this wasn't a sinful world and our body wasn't affected by the sin in the world, then our bodies wouldn't be getting older. Amen? But they are. And they're dying. Whether we want to admit it or not, or whether we like it. My goal, and I hope everybody's goal here, is to be prepared for that day when we are released from these bonds. These bodies are, you know, it's like going on vacation. It says you got a suitcase. Well, the suitcase is holding in all the things you brought for that vacation. There's this body's holding in everything that is alive that's in me. And when it's released, I'll truly feel the freedom that truly comes that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, purchased for us at the cross at Calvary. Amen. So I look forward to being totally free. Amen? I look forward to that day. It's great. It is great. So anyways, praise God, as we're worshiping, God laid it on my heart. He said, David, he said, this is what it's like to be in the love boat. For us older people know what we're talking about. You younger people may not. Yeah. He said, this is what it's like to be in the love boat. Love Boat was a TV program back in the, what, 70s or so? And it was where people used, huh? No, we don't want the theme song, thank you. But, see, this is really, it really is what it's like to be in the love boat. Amen? Because when they were in the boat with Jesus, they were in the boat with the manifest love of God. And in that time, it was the manifest love of God that calmed the storm. You can go through things and you get into his presence and the love. All the storms seem to just glory to God. Hallelujah. He also said to me, David, he said, you know that all good things come from above? I said, yes, sir. I know that. I'm having conversations while I'm worshiping, by the way. That's the way it is. I don't have to stop worshiping because he's speaking from within. And he's talking to me. He said, Dave, you know all good things come from above. I said, yes. He said, all things come from love because I am love. And he said, it goes through my symbol of love. What was the symbol of love? The cross. And it's manifested in the resurrection of my love. Amen? It's all based on love. Everything. Everything God is, everything he's done, everything he's doing, everything he'll ever do is based on love. Amen? It really is. And now the key is this. To come to understand that you are loved. Well, I know I'm loved. Well, yeah, because somebody told you God loves you. Amen? God, you know, we all know God is love, and God loves everybody, for God so loved the world, begotten Son, that whosoever will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God loves everybody. And so the teaching in the churches today is, well, God loves me, so I can do anything I want to do. Because God loves me. Amen? It's true. God does love you. He doesn't always love everything we do. And what he tries to instruct us in to deal with sin is not so because, oh, I'm just a sinner. No, it's because it separates you from love. Sin will separate you from love. That God doesn't want to be separated from you. That's why he came down to earth and took on the form of man so he could reconnect with you. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. And once we have reconnected in the spiritual, the natural comes into alignment. But it doesn't come into alignment because God said, don't do this. It comes into alignment because God is love. The one thing every human creator ever created needs is love. Amen? Everybody needs love. The worst thing in the world, and it's been proven scientifically, they would take children who were born out of wedlock or whatever, people gave up, and they would put them in a nursery, and those who were hugged every day, showing love every day, they thrived. Those who weren't, they were fed, they were clothed, but no intimacy. And love is all about intimacy. And God wants that intimacy with us because he wants you to, what? Thrive. He wants that abundant life to be in you. So as it's in you and me, and it manifests outwardly. Does that mean we always get everything we want because God loves me? It's because he loves us that we don't get everything we want. Those things that we desire that are outside of that which brings life can destroy us. Amen? Things come our way. I was sharing, I think Wednesday. Let me say this. I'm a little offline here for a little bit, but Wednesday probably to me was one of the most precious times I've had in a long time in the church. And don't take that in wrong in any bad way. I was so impressed with Wednesday. Wednesday was our once a year where we come together and give thanks to the Lord. Thank you for what he did the previous year. And in here was people who were, well, we could be kind. We'll say the gray-haired ones. I was one of them. But then there was the middle-aged ones. Then there were the little children. There's probably as many little children here as there was the adults. I was so blessed because of the people. Hey, look, if you weren't here, don't take this in any offensive way. It really wasn't. It isn't meant to be that way. But I watched what God did. These people came together out of pure love. Love for God, love for one another. And they're bringing up their children to love God and to love one another. And that's the future of the body of Christ. There was the future. I went away. I told people that is the best Wednesday I have seen ever. And we've been doing this for 25 years. The same thing every year. I had to believe that God was pleased with you. And he's pleased with all of you. Praise God. Please don't take it offensive. But I had to say it because I don't get to everybody and say, I was just blown away. I still can't get it out of me. But, amen. So I just want to put that out there before I forget, which I do a lot of things that I want to say that I forget. So, okay. So let's talk about love, God's love. Amen? And I was listening to John Hagee. He gave a great message on God's love. And he shared this part of it, and I want to share this with you. He said there's three kinds of love. And he asked the people, what kind of love do you have? He said the first kind of love is the if kind of love. IF, if kind of love. If you do this, I will love you. If you succeed, I will love you. If you come up to my expectations, I will love you. That's one kind of love, he said. And the second type of love is the because kind of love. Because you are intelligent, I will love you. Because you are a social equal of mine, I will love you. Because you have money, I will love you. Because you are beautiful, or you're handsome, I will love you. Because of some external truth about your life, I'm going to love you because of those reasons. Now we have two. If you do this for me, I'll love you because of what you are. I love you. Amen? Then there's a third kind of love. This is called in spite of love. In spite of love. That's God's love. Amen? In spite of love. He said, I love you in spite of your failures. I love you in spite of your miserable past. I love you in spite of your weaknesses and your faults. God is love, and He loves you because He's love. God does not keep, well, let me change that. Love does not keep track of your past. It only looks at the possibility of your future. When we are operating in the love that God has given to us, and we'll look at that in a minute, we look at people at their potential, not at their past or present. How many know God doesn't make mistakes? How many here know you were chosen before the foundation of the world? God didn't make a mistake. What did He choose you for? Why did He choose you? He chose you so that He could love you. And He chose you so He could put His love in you. He chose you so you can love others with His love. How do we know that we're saved? How do we know? The scriptures say, how do we know we pass from death to life, from darkness to light? Because our love for one another. Amen. We can't always love. There's people in here who bug you. Amen. Even a few people, there could be three people here, and they'd still, one of them would bug somebody. Right? Come on now. And the natural state of man is always one of destruction and decay and destroy. Let's deal with this because you bug me. And God says, no. If anybody bugs anybody, it's you who bug me. No, He doesn't say that. He could, though. He could. But it's not in Him. That's not who He is. He looks beyond our weaknesses. He looks beyond our failures. He looks beyond our miserable state that we're in at the moment. Oh, absolutely, thank God. No, you ready? Thank love. God is love. Thank God. Thank love. Love, there is no boundaries that God set up and said, listen, I'm love, so I'm going to love you because you do everything I say. That's not what it was. The Bible says that Jesus pleased God, Jesus knew that God was with Him always. What was with Him? Love. Because He only did those things that pleased love. Amen? How did He please love? By sharing love. He gave love away. He went to the fountain that His love and gave. He got the love and He gave it to others. Even to the cost of His own life. Even to the cost of His own life. Because love does not count the cost to self at all. I know they say, count the cost before you begin the journey. I know you're talking. I know. I can see these thoughts come running around in there. But that's the beginning of the journey. That's not in where we're supposed to be. At the moment that you begin the journey, it says that Spirit of God enters into the heart of man. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you. Ready? Glory to God. Going to Romans. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to go there. Hold on a second. Go to 1 John. First John 4. I think I want to go there first. I'm sorry, I'm just... Hallelujah. Is it warm in here or is it me? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is love. The moment that man was born again, it says the Holy Spirit came and poured out his love into their heart. Amen? Poured out his love into their heart. Now, I want to show you, this is something that John Hagee did too. So, and I wasn't going to do it, but then I believe the Lord told me to do it. Can you see this? I'm going to do this. Did the legs fall out? Oh, good. Not yet. Thank you. That's an encouragement. When you got born again, that word poured, did I lose something? Oh, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit came and filled us, right? Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he did something else. He said he poured out his love into our heart, right? When that word poured does not just mean to fill, it means an overflowing. And it's not, well, his bowl was better than mine. And it wasn't just that, he said, it wasn't just that God poured out and overflowed us in his love. It says he continually pours out and overflows us. This thing about being poured out is not a one-time action. It's an ongoing process of transformation, a change that only can be done by the Spirit of God. It cannot be done by your actions. It cannot be done because you want it to be done. It's done because the Spirit of God will finish a work he's begun in you. And the thing that he's trying to transform us into is to the image of Christ. And the image of Christ was what? The manifestation of God's love. You understand that? What God wants to do is transform you into the image of his Son. In other words, he wants you to be transformed into the manifestation of his love. Why? Because in his love cancels out all fear. Why is that important? Because the enemy uses fear to control you. Even the fear that you won't be loved. And many people don't believe that God is love them because they're not perfect according to what God says in his scriptures. So now they are now looking for God to love them dependent upon their actions. Amen? So, I'm not good enough. So obviously, because I demand from others to do what I want them to do in order to prove their love for me, then obviously God must want me to have to prove his love for me or my love for him by my actions. And so now we're not on a basis of God pouring out his love in us. It's about us earning what he freely gave us. Once you get into that mold, well, let me put it this way. if you can't break out of that mold, you will never experience the fullness of what God intended for your life. Never. Because everything is born out of love. And I'm not talking about this love that man has for each other and all this other kind of love, the if kind of love and the because kind of love. I'm talking about a love that freely came out of God, who is love, through his Son, who is a manifestation of that love, by the power of the machinery of his love, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working in you to bring that love into manifestation. The Holy Spirit came to change us, transform us into the image of Christ. How he does that is by revealing in us, first of all, that God is love and that you are love. Unconditionally, no matter what you are, what you're doing, what you've done, what you'll do in the future, God loves you. Get it. Grab it. I remember a time I was going through a very difficult time, and I told Diane, I quit. I just quit everything. I was done. And I went up to Pastor Williams. I loved him. He was a good man. Still is. He's a better man now. Where he's at, he's. But I went in and talked to him and his wife Donna, and Diane and I. We sat down and talked, and he talked for about an hour, and nothing there. I wasn't moved by anything. And then he said something at the very end. He said, "Never forget, you're a member of the Beloved." And I said, "Okay," walked away. But that was the one thing that changed something in me. I was accepted in the Beloved. In Ephesians 1, go there quick. Let me read that to you. Something clicked in me. It wasn't, my quitting was because I didn't feel I was doing what I was supposed to do. I wasn't working and nothing was happening. And I just couldn't. And so my love relationship with God was on a performance basis, not from him, but from me. And because I wasn't living up to what I thought I should live up to or be what I thought I should be, I just felt that I was, might as well just quit because there's no use in continuing doing what I'm doing. That's hard. I would tell you, you wanted to know the depths of despair. I mean, I thought I lost everything. Diane was still with me. She was my helper at that moment because she kept me going. Now, I know the Holy Spirit was working through her. I know that. But boy, at the moment, I didn't. At the moment, I didn't see any of that. As I look back in hindsight, I didn't even realize that what he said has any significance in my life. It was just something that was, he said, and I just let it go. But I understood something now that I didn't understand there. I'm loved. Amen? And to the degree that I understand that is the degree by which God is able to work, or love is able to work through me. When Jesus walked the earth and laid hands on the sick, it was because he loved them. The Bible says often he had compassion upon them. And it was the love that was flowing in him. He said it. It wasn't me. It was the Father doing the work in me. So if it's the Father doing the work and the Father is love, then it was love working in him. Amen? And flowing out of him. But he knew that the Father loved him. He knew the Father's love. He experienced it. He walked in it. He lived in it. That was the most important thing to him, was his love relationship with his Father. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was weeping uncontrollably on the ground, and he was in such a state, it said that the sweat became like rivers of blood off of him, drops of blood. And it wasn't that his will wasn't so much that he didn't want to go to the cross. I really believe that one, he came to understand there was going to be one moment in time when he was separated from the love who was the Father. He was on the cross. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay? Why did you forsake me? What's he saying? The only thing that was different for him, yes, he was going through a physical pain, and yes, he was dying, yes, all that true. But the one thing that caused him the greatest grieving and pain in his life was his separation from the love that he had here. If nobody's ever been separated that, and by the grace of God, you never have been, because God has poured out that love into your heart. So you can't say, well, I was separated from that love. No. Even your sin can't separate you from that love. Do you realize that? You will separate yourself from that because of your guilt or your shame or your love of your sin. But if you want to experience the truth, is you can sin and God isn't going to say, oh, look at you. You blew it. You had a chance to walk with me in heaven. Now you've done. You sinned. That's it. It's over with. No, he's not a man. He's not like us. Somebody does us wrong, we turn away from them. God never turns. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. I'm not turning away from you. I will never forsake you. I will love you to the very end. Even if you reject me, I will not reject you. You understand that? Because God's love can't be changed. God's love cannot be stopped. What he sets out to love, he loves. Unconditionally. Unconditionally. That's what agape means. Oh, that means I can go sin and do whatever I want? Here's the key. If you're operating out of the love that's in you, you won't. I did not commit adultery on my wife because I loved her. Not because I was afraid of her divorcing me. Had nothing to do with it. I wasn't in fear. I wasn't in fear, although she threatened me. I wasn't in fear. You understand that? The whole basis of our relationship in the end, now it took time. It's the same thing when I got saved. It took time for me to go from with the reasons I came in, and it was a multitude of reasons. But one of them really wasn't love, except the love that he put in my heart. It's taken years for me to fall in love with God to the degree I've fallen in love with him now. It took years for me to fall in love with my wife the way I loved her at the end. You understand? It wasn't based on fear that she's going to leave me or any of that stuff. It was based on love. Once we learn to love that way, the only way you're going to learn to love that way is by allowing God, first of all, to love you. He said, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. What's he saying? If you will draw close to my love, I'll love you more. I'll reveal my love to you. And that's the key. Amen? That's the key. All right? How do I know God loves me? He says it. Well, yeah, other people have said they love me and left me. Do you think that brings about a mindset, a stronghold in our mind that causes us to look on God a little differently? Oh, yeah, he said he loves me now, but what if? And if he loves me, then how come this is going on? And he loved me, how come he didn't stop that from happening? And so what we do is build up a mindset, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions are based on our feelings, based on our sight, based on our hearing, based on what we consider love is. We have set up a criteria. Most of everybody has set it up and said, this is love. I have a list. And if you follow this list, I will love you. A mess up, I'll cross you off my list. I agree. Amen. He's telling you. Look in Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Let me see here where I want to start. Okay. Verse 4, chapter 1. Just as he chose us in him, thank you, Lord, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, you can't become holy and blameless outside of love. You understand that? Everybody tries to live a holy life. Everybody tries to live a simple life. The one thing that'll keep us from there is love. Amen? What I said earlier, I did not commit adultery on my wife because I loved her. You will do as God, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do all I command. What he is saying is, because you love me, you will do it. You don't have to prove your love to me by doing it. It's a natural walk of God. It's natural. We walk in love. And love does not take us the path that goes contrary to God's will. Love is a pure. It's holy. It's what God created us for. God chose you before the foundation of the world to carry his love at this time, where there is hardly any love whatsoever out there. The whole problem with what's going on in the world today, it's performance-based love. Democrats say, if you love me, I'll love you and be with you always. Republicans say, if you love me, I'll be with you always. But my love and their love are two different ones, so you have to choose which love you want to follow. And so you end up in a quandary. I don't know what to do. The bottom line is, God's love is perfect. It's pure. It's not judgmental. Love does not destroy. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, I came to bring life. Love always brings life. Hope for a future. Pure love always cancels out all fear. All fear is removed. The power of Satan is no longer possible in your life. Whether I should live or should die, I do it as unto the Lord. The Lord is love. Love is what's going to give me the power over sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Love. Everything about Jesus was love. Everything came out of the Father is love. And the only thing that's going back to the Father? Love. Are you loved? I know I'm loved. How do you know you're loved? Are you ever bottled up inside with discouragement and disappointments and all the other stuff? That's only from the world, my friends. That's not out of love. But how do I get out of that? Learn what love is. Isn't it amazing that God had to tell us what love was? We think we know what love is. A love is a little baby. Love is a little kitten or a little puppy. Love is getting married. All temporal. Things that come and things that go. God's love is permanent, eternal. It's something you can hang on to. It'll never leave you nor forsake you. So now you can even love those who hurt you. Because you love with a love that's different than their love. Because if they truly loved you, they never would have hurt you in the first place. Amen? As they say in that old saying, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen? Look what he says. He chose you before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. God accepts you. Now listen to this. Not just where you are now. He accepted you before you came to Christ. He loved you before you accepted the sacrifice of his beloved on the cross. When you were yet in your sins, think about the worst day of your life. You know that you have been sinning. I walked home one night, looked up at the stars, and I said, God, there's got to be more to life than this. I didn't say God. I said, there's just got to be more to life than this. I didn't know what I was looking for. I didn't have a clue. It was every night I was drunk. Every night I was coming home the same way. It wasn't any different. But one cry, one statement on my part saying there's got to be more to life than this, Jesus showed me the way to life. That was the love that was being poured out in my life even before. Matter of fact, it was times afterwards I used to laugh at people who talked about Jesus. I never considered him other than a good fictional story that people talked about. I didn't come out of my mother's womb saying, hallelujah, glory to God. When I was 18, I went into the military, and I wasn't thinking, oh, I hope God is with me in this. Never gave him a second thought. When I got out of the military, I don't have to go through all the sins and the junk that I got into. But I got into everything you can. I used to say I broke every commandment of God, except I don't think I killed anybody by the grace of God that I know of. But God still loved me. He still loved me. With a love that is incomprehensible to mankind. I cannot understand it. I cannot comprehend it. All I can do is accept it. I accept you love me. Because he loves me, he chose me to be part of his eternal love. When we stand in heaven, the one thing you're going to experience is pure love. Not contaminated with our soulish realm and all our thoughts and concerns and all. Just pure love. Pure acceptance. I told you before with that dream I had with Jesus, when he looked at me and I was a little lamb walking next to him and I was pure white and I looked so good and I was just prancing alongside of him. And I looked into his eyes and all I could see was pure acceptance. No judgment whatsoever. I come to understand what I saw in him, in his eyes, was pure love. And no matter what I could have done, and he said it to me, he said, David, your sin, you think your sin is so big? I took all the sins of the whole world on me. He said, I can't even find yours in there. Amen? The good news is he doesn't look for them. He doesn't even look for them. I'm the one who brings them up all the time. I'm the one who's always going back and thinking what I did wrong yesterday or this morning, thinking that I'm not living up to that potential. And I understood something. It's not me, but it's Christ working in me. It's God in love himself that's causing me to will to do those things that please him. It's not me. I take no glory. I take no credit. I don't want other people to look on me and say, oh, aren't you wonderful? No, I'm not. His love is. I'm not. And I'm not afraid to admit it. But in that, I'm learning to walk in love. And all those things that still so easily beset me, all the sin, all the junk that continually bombards me, is slowly fading away, being washed away by His love. And pretty soon I know it's going to come a day that all I have is His love left. Will it be in this life? I don't know. I know Paul, when Paul was saying in the end, he said, you know, he said, I'm coming to the end of my days. And he said, I've run the race. I've finished the course. And what he was saying was, I have no regrets with this life. I have no regrets. Because I passed from that which I was to that which I was becoming. I haven't achieved that yet. I haven't got there yet. But God is slowly but surely pulling me along, because I'm tied to His love. The more love we have experience in our heart. And how do we get to that place? How do we get there? How do we get there? My prayer is consistent. Father, help me to love like You love. I can't do it on my own. It's impossible. But I trust You'll get me there. I thank You for it. I thank You for it. I'm blessed because my Father, who is love, is working out in me His love to manifest to a world that needs love. That's what we're all about. This is a love bowl. One scripture talks about the love feast. Amen. As we gather together and we talk about the Lord, and as we talk about His goodness, we're partaking of the feast of the Lord, which is His love. You can't talk about Him without experiencing the very presence of God, which is the presence of His love. That's why your conversations need to be about Him. The more you talk about Him, the more His love is revealed in you. Why? Because that's His whole goal, is to reveal Himself to you. He wants you to show Him how much He loves you by letting your love, your heart be filled with His love. The more you talk about Him, the more He's revealed. Amen? Hallelujah. In Revelation, well, I'm not going there today. Where am I? Go to Romans 5. Did we go there yet? Okay. To answer our question, well, if God loves us, how come? Therefore, verse 1, having been justified by faith, and remember, faith worketh by love. Without love, remember he said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, I think it is? He said, now there's these three things, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith and hope come out of love. All right? Unless love is established, your faith is going to be weak. Amen? Unless you're walking in that love, and the greater love walk that you have, the greater faith you have. The greater faith you have, the greater results of your love come into manifestation in your life. See, we use our faith because we love things of this world. And when we don't get what we ask for, because it's not born out of love, it's born out of lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Remember we talked about that? The enemies of our soul. Once we are established a love walk with God, our request to the Father, who is love, and trust me, God loves you, and He said, what kind of father would you ask, would the child ask for a loaf of bread and you'd give him a stone? Would that be our Father? If God is love. And throughout the Old Testament, you can see God's reaction, God's love in action. And into the New Testament, obviously. We can see His love in action. People who rebelled against Him, rejected Him. He wanted to bring them into the promised land. And they just said, no, we were not going in there. They did not understand it. God was trying to show him, look, this is what my love is like. I'm going to give you houses you did not build. I'm going to give you orchards you did not plant. I'm going to give you homes. I'm going to give you everything you want. Everything you need for a good godly life, I'm going to give to you if you'll just let me love you and you love me in return. If you just do that little thing. And the people still rejected him. Romans 5, he said this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Another translation says we rejoice in tribulations, or we rejoice in sufferings. Here, let me read it to you this way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hallelujah. So there's a process by which God is taking us through things. For what? For what purpose? Look what he finishes with. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to go through that process. If God would pour out his love into our hearts without working through our soulish realm, and this is what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the soulish realm, right? You already got the love in your heart because he poured it in there. We showed that, right? But now he's dealing with the soulish realm. Listen, your sufferings, I allow them for purpose to bring us into a love that you haven't experienced before. Why? Why all this? Why can't we just walk in love? We all have to answer that ourselves. Because our mind hasn't been renewed to what love is. Because again, we have established a list of criteria for people. If you say you love me, this is what you have to do to prove it. Imagine this, just for a second, that God gave us a list of things to do to prove our love for him. And if you don't prove your love for me, you can't enter into my kingdom. Imagine if he said that to us. Would any of us be able to enter in? Amen? Just imagine that was going on. But he didn't do that. So if God, who loved us, who is love, who is pure, who is holy, who is who he is, perfect in all his ways, chose us before the foundation of the world to give us his love unconditionally. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. There's nothing in you that was worth his love, but yet he gave it freely. And yet we charge others for our love. That's why we always have a problem. That's why we don't sell things out of here. Anything we've ever had, we don't sell. We don't sell if we had CDs. We didn't sell. We don't sell stuff. Freely we have received, freely I give. I did not deserve his love. You don't deserve mine, but I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Well, I don't want your love. I don't care whether you want it or not. I didn't ask if you wanted it. Matter of fact, when God chose you, you didn't ask for it. Did you? Because if you did ask for it, you were born before the foundation of the world. But he chose to give you his love before the foundation of the world. You didn't ask for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. So how come you make others earn your love? Because we operate out of our love rather than out of his. We learn to operate out of his love. How do we know what his love is? Well, we'll close with this. How do we know that we're operating out of God's love or our own? 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. When you get in an argument between two people, you sound like a whole lot of noise. Right? A whole lot of noise. And the thing is, we always want to be louder than the other one, thinking that we're going to get across our will. The loudest one wins. No, the loudest one loses. The one who walks in love always wins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love conquers all. Everything in life that comes against you can be defeated by love. People who come against you, if you learn to love them. You get an unruly child, grab a hold of that child and hug it. And keep saying over and over, I love you, I love you, I love you, unconditionally, I love you, I love you. And their screaming will finally die down and they'll be able to hear what you're saying. And that love will change them. But you give evil for evil, they scream, you scream, everybody's got ice cream. Cold. Ice cream is cold. Love is warm. Amen? The more you love, the more victory is assured. The more you try to get across our will outside of love, the more the fact is we will miss every single time. Listen to what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So all the ministry in the world won't do you a bit of good if it is not born out of love. Amen? It has to come out of the love, out of God. Look, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Boy, not one. I've been hit over to keep getting slapped upside the head. Amen? Come on now. We all struggle in this thing. But it doesn't mean we have to stay there. There is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. God is working in us. God is bringing us to that place. God wants people here. Once we exude love here, he'll be able to bring in those who are hurting out there. The reason they're hurting is because they have not experienced the love that is in God and who God is. Amen? So when they come in here, we don't stand in judgment of them. We're not going to look on them the way they walk, the way they talk, the what they wear. The worst thing you can do, my friends, when we greet each other in the morning, is not go to the people who don't. Go to somebody you don't want to go to. Go to somebody you're not used to going to. The Bible tells us iron sharpens iron. There's friction. There's heat. But it also smooths out the rough spots in all of us. Learn to walk in love. Learn to greet one another in love. I greet you in the love of God. For God is love, and I am in God, and God is in me. That means I am in love, and love is in me. I'm going to love you whether you want to love me or not. I'm going to hug you whether you want to hug me or not. Amen? Listen, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. How many are keeping a list of the things that you missed? How many are writing down and say, oh, okay, I got to work on that. Oh, I got to work on, God, you got to work in me on this one. I see this, God. Yeah, I haven't got there yet. When that guy cut me off, I was thinking evil, Lord. I was thinking evil many times. Amen? Come on now. It's not just love about in here. That love has to be operating out there. Love doesn't come here. When we get here, we turn it on, and we walk out those doors, we turn it off. No, that love is operating in us all times. On those people at work where you can't stand to listen to them, you're getting hard. Yeah, love is working. Amen. The people, your next door neighbors, your husband, your wife, your children, all your neighbors, all the people you know, all of them got something you don't like about them. And if they could be just like me, they would be perfect. All they have to do is think the way I think, talk the way I talk, do what I want to do, and then I love them. Amen. Now they're perfect. Now I got the perfect me. No, you don't. Listen, the good news is this, what is so good, and I learned this a long time ago from Diane, was I thank God she wasn't like me. Oh. No, I'm serious, man. See, everybody brings something to the table. Everybody brings something to the love feast. You bring one thing, I bring another. But the love is still born out of that love, the same love. The love isn't different. It's just how you are operating at that moment is different. You can come up and give me a hug and say, I love you, and not mean it. Or you can come up and give me a love and hug and say, I love you, and really, you love me. And I can tell the difference. One is talking just, well, that's something we all say. I'm supposed to love you, so I have to love you. Nice to say that. I don't have any choice to love you. Well, if it's up to me, you're right. I probably wouldn't love you. But if I'm operating out of my Father's love, and the one thing in here that one is the one that kills me every time, thinks no evil. That just drives me up a wall. But I understand again, it's not me, but it's the Christ working in me. That Jesus, his love working in me, is constantly reminding me. But listen to this. Let's finish that real quick. Love does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God bless you. Listen to this. Love never fails. There you got it. Love never fails. You cannot fail if you operate in God's love. If you operate out of your love, you'll fail all the time. All the time. Amen? Love never fails. And the more we operate out of God's love, the more we're going to see the goodness of God manifested in the lives of the people here in the church and out there in the world. The church never learned to love with God's love. That's the struggle most all of us have. We all have it. And we don't even consider to check ourselves to see if we're operating out of love, of God's love. We don't go there and look and see. When that thought comes my way, is that thought based out of God's love? Or is it based out of my emotions and my feelings and my thoughts? It's amazing that God had to tell us what love is. You never have to train a child to do wrong. We got a kitten in the house now. Just yesterday, ate a plant and ate my shoelace. All right? Runs around. Now, he's loved because he's always, people aren't kicking him and beating him yet. And that, but what William, whose cat it is, and he's paying for all the damage, he went to Walmart and he bought two squirt gun things. Why? Because we love the cat and we don't want to kill it. And we don't want to kick it out of the house. We want to train it. God loves us. He's training us up. There you go. I use quarters, but anyways. Do you understand? Training is part of God's love. Ask Him to train you to love like He loves. Don't be afraid of it, because God will not do anything to harm you. He's not there to destroy your life or to tear apart your life. He's there to train you to love so that you can be loved the way you should be loved. Amen? How do you do that? Because He said, if you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I think that's in Luke 6. And if you look it up, you'll find He's talking about love. You understand? He's talking about love there. If you give it, you'll get it back. Amen? Hallelujah. And guess what? If you won't get it from man, you'll get it from Him. You understand that? Man took Jesus, killed Him, buried Him in a tomb, and God's love brought Him out of there. Man in this world can destroy you, tear you apart, slap you around, kick you, try to destroy your life. But God, in His love, will restore you. That's what love is all about. That's what it's all about. Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You. We acknowledge, Father, there is only one love. That's Your love. We ask, Almighty God, You continue to work in us, so that we may be a manifestation of Your love as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. That others in the world, Father, who are hurting, who are crying, who are discouraged and disappointed and ready to give up on life, Father, that they would turn and see the love that we have for them. That we accept them just the way they are. We don't condemn them. We don't judge them. We don't tear them down. We do as You instruct us to do, is to love them. Help us, Father. We want to be that person. We want to be that instrument. We want to be that manifestation, so the world will know there is a God who loves them. Love them through us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. All right. What do we have communion this morning? So let's prepare. We'll bring our offering up at the same time. Praise God. And meanwhile, keep Carlotta in prayer. She